Hi, this is Kevin Harlan, the voice of Monday Night Football and the NBA on TNT. Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. No politics, no nonsense, just sports.
Lowell Tuckerman and Marko Ukalovic for BayAreaSportsWrap.com as we preview the Raiders and Bengals wild card round playoff matchup. The Raiders travel to Cincinnati on Saturday, and they'll take on the Bengals in a 1:30 p.m. Pacific time kickoff, and you can watch that on NBC. Marko, before we break down this game and talk about what the Raiders need to do to pull out the victory on the road, I just want to take a step back and appreciate what the Raiders have done to make the playoffs and get the fifth seed and get this matchup that I think is a very winnable game for them in Cincinnati. You know, if you look back after the Henry Ruggs tragedy and the John Gruden resignation, this was a team that could have easily just mailed it in and put in another 7 or 8 win season and have their regularly scheduled January vacation. But they didn't. And they get 4 wins in a row to end the season. And a lot of these wins coming in dramatic fashion, getting a lot of breaks, making clutch plays. And Marko, they were able to avoid the dreaded matchup with Kansas City in the wild card round, because had they tied the Chargers, that's what would have happened. They would have had to go to Kansas City. But instead, they get to play the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think you'd be crazy to count the Raiders out in this game.
No, of course not. I agree with you. I'm excited for this game, too. It's definitely been a long time since the Raiders have been in the playoffs. You go back to that 2016 season when they were in Oakland. Now they're in Las Vegas. But you look at that season where they were cruising. They were, 12-3. They were going to clinch the AFC West. Looked like they were going to, be a strong contender for the Super Bowl that year. And then everything went awry when Derek Carr's leg gets broken in the game against the Indianapolis Colts. And then they took a dud, in Denver the following week. And then, of course, they go into the playoff game in Houston with Connor Cook as the quarterback, who never made a start in his life until that game. So this is a totally different scenario. And I think Raider fans do have a right to be excited about this time around, because again, they're going to have Derek Carr back, playing in his first playoff game. They're going to have Darren Waller, as the tight end. They're going to have, Josh Jacobs as the running back, Hunter Renfro on there. So to me, the key of this game is what they did against the LA Chargers this past Sunday night, is where the defense just puts, the front four is going to put a ton of pressure on Joe Burrow, like the way they did against Herbert, because that was the key to the success of that game, was that they limited their chances. They limited their big plays that LA did, against them in the first game when they did a Monday night game, I believe that was week 4. So if they can, has to take that role, that same strategy, watch that same film and use that same strategy going into tomorrow's game against Cincinnati, that'll be, I think, successful for them, because you just look at the way that Charger game was. I know Austin Eckler had a big game in it, but, except for one drive where he had a couple explosive plays, including that rushing touchdown, they kind of held him in check. And they're going to need to hold, Joe Mixon or whoever the running back is tomorrow in check. And then you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, I think he's more talented than Justin Herbert. And that's, I'm not knocking Herbert at all. He's a great quarterback. But I think from a mobility standpoint, Joe Burrow can take off when the pocket collapses in the middle like that. He's the kind of guy who's willing to go forward and run. He's not afraid to run. And I think that, to me, poses the biggest threat to that Raiders defense tomorrow, is that can they limit him and keep him in the pocket? If they can do that, that's where they're going to have success, because Max Crosby and Yannick, those guys are going to be able to get pressure against that offensive line from Cincinnati. So to me, that's the key of the game. And, defensively, they can hold this team to under 20 points. They have a great chance of winning it.
And Marko, I think it's important to remember that regardless of what happens tomorrow, This is a Raiders team that's going to be remembered for a long time. I mean, not only were they the first NFL team to go to the playoffs with an interim head coach, you have the four-game winning streak to finish the season, all four wins in pretty dramatic fashion, and all the adversity they overcame. My goodness. And, you know, we live in the bubble of today, and what the team delivers in the playoffs usually cements the legacy. But I just think it's important to remember that this really was an amazing accomplishment by the Raiders and truly a fascinating season.
Oh, definitely. And when you think of all the stuff that happened to this team this year, you know, and it goes back to really before even training camp started when, you know, Mark Badain, who was the president, all of a sudden resigns and took a couple of guys with them. You know, then you have the Gruden thing that happens where he ends up having to resign. Henry Ruggs in his DUI tragedy, where a woman and her dog were killed. You know, Damon Arnett, you know, being stupid and going on was it Instagram, YouTube, where posting videos that he wants to kill someone. You know, Darren Waller being hurt on Thanksgiving. This team has suffered so much adversity, and having Rich Bisaccia come in here and right this ship when, you know, we were both there at the Cincinnati game in Las Vegas back on November 21st, I believe that was. And I remember even after watching that game, and I asked Bisaccia, and I said, is this team mentally done? Are they done for this season with everything that has gone on? And it would be not a surprise. It wouldn't be anything to, like, you know, hang your head over with everything that's going on. Was this team done? And he said, no. Now, I didn't believe him, and I don't think most people did when he said that, you know, this team still has a chance to make the playoffs and do something special. And then they did. They went out. They're 6-7, coming off the most embarrassing loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. What was it, 48-9? That game was, and they go and win four in a row, and basically coming down basically to the last play of the game and each of those four wins, winning it off against the Colts, you know, winning it, you know, walk off against the Chargers to send them in the playoffs and send them out of the playoffs. Yeah, for this team to respond to that kind of adversity, you know, fans should. I don't think anyone's going to realize it right now because everyone's excited for tomorrow's game. But I think after the season's over, even after the Super Bowl's over, be able to reflect back on saying, wow, this team defied everything, every kind of just, you know, basically anything that could have went against them, and it did, but they still persevered. And for them to finish 10-7, winning the last four games and finishing with the fifth seed in the AFC, no one could have predicted this. And if you did, you know, I want some lottery numbers. I want you to, like, tell me when I'm going to die, because no one could have predicted this at all. And that's what's, I think, truly been lost in this whole four-game winning streak, is that just the way they did it and what they have had to overcome.
Marco, if you were to tell me before the season the Raiders would make the playoffs and finish 28th in the NFL in rushing yards, I would have said you were crazy, because conventional wisdom to me says for the Raiders to have even a modicum of success, Josh Jacobs has to be at the top of his game for most of the season. And I wonder if the down year from Josh Jacobs, and when the Raiders were looking at everything going into these last four games, they realized they have to get him going to have a chance. What else would you attribute the success of Josh Jacobs, especially in two out of those last three games, when he really carried the Raiders?
I think that, you know, the recent success of Josh Jacobs is just him, you know, believing that, you know, he needed to do more for this team. Now, he's been riddled with injuries this whole season. This has been a season where, you know, take away with those first few games, he probably would like to forget. And he comes into that last game against LA where, you know, his ribs are still, you know, bruised, or I don't know, that he's not 100%. I mean, not that any player is at this time of the year, but he has significant injury that, you know, to me, just goes to show you what mental toughness this guy has. I mean, this is what, only his third year, or, you know, in the NFL, fourth year, I believe. And yet for him to have that kind of mental toughness to say, look, I need to do more than what has been expected of me this season. And he carried that team to the victory on Sunday. And if it wasn't for those two runs, you know, they end up in a tie and they end up going to play in Kansas City instead of going to play in Cincinnati. You know, and I just think that, you know, the coaching staff decided they needed him to get going, because when you make Derek Carr one dimensional, you know, then that's when the offense fails. That's when the offense only scores like 10 to 13 points a game. You know, they need him to be the catalyst in Josh Jacobs. So that way that takes a little bit of pressure off of Derek Carr. Now they can actually do play action pass with Derek Carr when Josh Jacobs is getting 4, 5, 6 yards a carry. It opens up the offense completely. You know, you can put, and it really doesn't matter who, where you put Waller or put Renfro, whether it's in the slot, play him out wide. The fact that Jacobs can execute and get good yardage on first and second down, all of a sudden now your third downs are what, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. They're very manageable. And again, it's, you're able to open up the field that way. You're able to take deep shots that way. And, you know, especially with the, you know, with the guys who are like Zay Jones, who can go deep, DeSean Jackson now, he's a deep play threat for the Raiders. So that's what I think is why he needs to be the catalyst, because he allows the offense to open up and spread out and work the field over the middle, as well as working the sideline. So it's very important that Josh Jacobs has a good game tomorrow. You know, I've been reading Twitter and, you know, the experts saying, like, you know, if the Raiders win tomorrow, it's because, you know, Darren Waller's going to have a big game. But I, you know, while that may be true to some effect, I don't think that's the key. I think Josh Jacobs needs to catch the ball 25 times tomorrow, whether that's all rushes or throw him a couple passes out in the flat. But he needs to at least touch the ball 25 times and get somewhere between 80 and 100 yards. That's going to make that offense open up against a Bengals defense that, yeah, they can put pressure on the quarterback, but their secondary is vulnerable. And if you give Derek Carr enough time to, you know, be able to throw the ball deep, or you're giving him manageable situations on third down, like that are short, third and shorts, then, you know, again, it's able to open up this offense and they can score some points against these guys. So, yeah, Josh Jacobs definitely is the catalyst. He's the key for this offense. And we'll see how the game plan is tomorrow and how they start out. And I hope they try to run the ball down Cincy's throat. And again, that's going to open up everything else. If they don't, it might be a long game for them. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Raiders and Bengals in Cincinnati tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. kickoff local time, televised on NBC. For post-game analysis and reaction, don't forget to check out BayAreaSportsWrap.com after the game.